जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंदा श्री राधा गोपीनाथ की जय। We are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, chapter 19. The Lord instructs Srila Rupa Goswami, text. This is 159. And the verse before is Kintu Yadilata Sangi Ute Upashaka Bhukti Mukti Vanchayata Asakyata Raleka. Sometimes unwanted creepers, such as the creepers of desires for material enjoyment and liberation from the material world, grow along with the creeper of devotional service. The varieties of such unwanted creepers are unlimited. And today's verse, the verse on the board. Nishidhachara Kutinati Jiva Hinsana Labha Puja Pratishta Adi Yata Upashaka Gana. Nishidhachara Kutinati Jiva Hinsana. Labha puja pratishtadi yata upasaka ghana. Nishidhacha kutinati jiva hingsana. Labha puja pratishtadi yata upasaka ghana. Nishidhachar kutinati jiva hinsana. Labha puja pratishtadi yata upashaka gana. Nishidhachar kutinati jiva hinsana. Labha puja pratishta di yato pashaka gana. Ladies. Nishidhacha kutinati jiva hinsana. Labha puja pratishtadi yata upashaka gana. Nishidhachar kutinati jiva hinsana. Labha puja pratishtadi yata upashaka gana. Nishidhachara. Behavior not to be exhibited by a person desiring to become perfect. Kutinati, diplomacy, jiva hingsana, unnecessary killing animals or the soul. Labha, profit according to material calculations. Puja, adoration achieved by satisfying mundane people. Pratishta Adi, becoming an important man in material calculations and so on. Yata, all these. Upashaka Gana, unnecessary creepers. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. There is a certain pattern of behavior prescribed for those actually trying to become perfect. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we advise our students not to eat meat, not to gamble, not to engage in illicit sex, and not to indulge in intoxication. People who indulge in these activities can never become perfect. Therefore, these regulative principles are for those interested in becoming perfect and going back to Godhead. Kutinati, or diplomatic behavior, cannot satisfy the Atma, the soul. It cannot even satisfy the body or the mind. The culprit mind is always suspicious. Therefore, our dealings should always be straightforward and approved by the Vedic authorities. If we treat people diplomatically or dupliciously, our spiritual advancement is obstructed. Jiva Himsana refers to the killing of animals or to envy of other living entities. The killing of poor animals is undoubtedly due to envy of those animals. The human form is meant for the understanding of Krishna consciousness, Adhatu Brahma Jigyas, for inquiring about the Supreme Brahman. In the human form, everyone has a chance to understand the Supreme Brahman. The so-called leaders of human society do not know the real aim of human life and are therefore busy with economic development. This is misleading. Every state and every society is busy trying to improve the quality of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. This human form of life is meant for more than these four animal principles. Eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are problems found in the animal kingdom. And the animals have solved their problems without difficulty. Why should human society be so busy trying to solve these problems? The difficulty is that people are not educated to understand the simple philosophy. They think that advancement of civilization means increasing sense gratification. There are many religious propagandists who do not know how the ultimate problems of life can be solved, and they also try to educate people in a form of sense gratification. This is also Jiva Hingsana. Real knowledge is not given, and religionists mislead the general populace. As far as material profits are concerned, one should know that whatever material profit one has must be abandoned at the time of death. Unfortunately, people do not know that there is life after death. Therefore, mundane people waste their time amassing material profit, which has to be left behind at the time of death. Such profit has no eternal benefit. Similarly, adoration by mundane people is valueless because after death, one has to accept another body. Material adoration and title are decorations that cannot be carried over to the next body. In the next life, everything is forgotten. All these obstructions have been described in this verse as unwanted creepers. They simply present obstacles for the real creeper, Bhakti Lata Bij. One should be very careful to avoid all these unwanted things. Sometimes these unwanted creepers look exactly like the Bhakti Lata creeper. They appear to be of the same size and the same species when they are packed together with the Bhakti Lata creeper. But in spite of this, these creepers are called Upashaka. A pure devotee can distinguish between the Bhakti Lata creeper and a mundane creeper, and he is very alert to distinguish them and keep them separate. Nishidhachar kutinati jiva hingsana labdha puja pratishtadiyata upashaka gana. Some unnecessary creepers growing with the Bhakti creeper are the creepers of behavior unacceptable for those trying to attain perfection. Diplomatic behavior, animal killing, mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. All these are unwanted creepers. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Nilatamina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayati Grimyat Kripata Dhamvande Shri Gurum Dhinatharinam. So here Lord Chaitanya continue describing the process of a devotional service and the obstacles that can come on the way. And with this nice example with the creeper, it's very easy to understand how when we cultivate one plant and it grows naturally, some other unwanted plants can and will most probably come along, and if one is not careful to weed these, they will hamper the natural growth of the real plant, the desirable plant, and even may, you know, completely subdue it. So this is different than the previous problem described, or the previous danger, which was not the weeds, but it was an animal. We had to actually build a fence to protect the plant, and the animal which could destroy it was the mad elephant, or at least the fences towards the devotees. So this type of danger can kill the plant, but here there are less, you know, less dangerous these weeds which can grow. They most probably won't kill it, but what will happen is that they will grow over it, and what happens when there are too many weeds? You will not have the fruits and flowers of the real plant. In other words, you will not attain the law of Krishna, or your advancement will be very slow. So these creepers, these unwanted creepers, they will slow down our progress. And therefore, Prabhupada says we should be careful to distinguish them and keep them separate. And in the first verse, Lord Chaitanya says that in general, these are the two categories in which these creepers fell are bhukti mukti, desire for material enjoyment and desire for liberation. And the varieties are unlimited. Yeah. So many subtle desires and gross desires for in material enjoyment and liberation. So these should be understood. And in this verse, which we repeated, Lord Chaitanya gives a few examples of these unlimited varieties. So first is nishida achara means unwanted behavior, and Prabhupada explains in the purport that means not following the principles. That's very simple. And then we have more subtle forms like kutinati, jivahingsa, labha, puja and pratishta, and these are more difficult to give up. Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains that one may, on the path of devotional service, may easily give up the gross lust, anger and greed, but especially subtle forms of contamination are very persistent, and it's quite difficult to overcome. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura explains in Madhura Kadambini, he puts them in the category of anarthas. There are four types of anarthas. One is anarthas coming from past sin, sinful activities. Anarthas, second group, is anarthas coming from pious activities. And then there is a third group, anarthas coming from nama parada. And the fourth group is anarthas coming from bhakti, from devotional, so from practice of devotional service. So these are the anarthas coming from practice of devotional service described here. These are the unwanted seeds. So this is one category of anarthas, and they are dealt with in the process of devotional service at the stage of anartha nivritti, when we are cleaning our hearts. And he describes that each of these different groups of anarthas, they have certain different levels of purification. You know, they're somewhat removed, and then there are more, and there is a complete removal, and there is absolute removal. And for each different category, there is this level of removal is a different stage of devotional service, different stage of advancement. So the most difficult are actually the nama paradas, which are absolutely relegated only on the level of prema. But fortunately, these coming from bhakti are eradicated on the platform of nishta. But still, we should be aware that they're really very subtle, and they may take the form of the real plant, like here it is nicely described, that they may resemble the bhakti, and we may not notice them. I think I mentioned once I was giving a class, probably it was Chaitanya Charitamrita, some months ago, again I gave this example of the garden there, and some of the weeds are really looking, especially when they're young, and compared to the plant you expect, they really look the same. Only if you study them very, very carefully, the leaves, then you can see different patterns. And of course, when they grow up, one will give a nice fragrant flower and the other will give either nothing or just thorn or something like that. It just takes the energy. So they may look, it's difficult to notice. You may leave them, oh, this is the real plant. And it grows, and finally you realize, wow, it's not what I wanted actually. And then you try to take the wheat. If it's small, it's very easy, you know, you just pull it up. But especially some wheats, they go really deep down. Their roots are, you know, two times higher than the plant itself. So if you leave it to grow a little bit more, then you have to take special tools, you know, to dig a lot to take the root. Otherwise, if you take only the upper part, you know, the root remains and it will come again. So I guess this metaphor is appropriate, because it's very difficult to uproot some of those, especially if we leave them for a long time. And we can see Vaishnavacharyas often pray to get the mercy of the Lord to help them get rid of this. For example, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura, in his song Dushtamana, it has 17 verses. In almost all of them, he mentions the pratishta word, or it has all kinds of, you know, variations, and we can say translation of the words, like fame, prestige, reputation, honor, recognition, popularity, name, position. All these things are connected with pratishta, or means pratishta. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati is saying, you know, that this our wretched mind, you know, it's attracted so much by this adoration, by this reputation, fame, prestige, even in the name of devotional service. That's why it looks like the Bhakti Lata, you know. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that, well, why they come from the process of bhakti, because one practices, and after some time one may attain some acquisition due to the devotional service. It can be position, it can be wealth, it can be fame, or worship by others, because one is in a certain position to be honored as a, you know, senior Vaishnava or something like that. So then if one is not careful, this pratishta can influence the heart. So what to do? And interesting is that I noticed in the translation Prabhupada three times uses one word which somehow is not in the verse itself, or at least it's not explicitly mentioned. This is the word mundane, right? Mundane profiteering, mundane adoration, and mundane importance. So he specifically mentions that this pratishta, puja, and labha are to be considered the mundane. So in other words, they must be spiritual. Why otherwise he is emphasizing that this is the mundane profiteering, adoration, and importance. So obviously there's importance or fame and honor which is spiritual, and that's what Prabhupada says, and also Lord Chaitanya describes that who is the most famous. The most famous is the devotee of the Lord. So naturally a devotee will be famous. The question is how the devotee will take that fame. If one takes it for himself, then it becomes pratishta in the mundane sense. But if one always uses that in Krishna service, or brings back to Krishna whatever one is getting from this prestige or this position, then it's not mundane. Same thing is from the for the puja or for the labha, profit. One may attain different things, but if they are used in Krishna service, if they are supporting devotional service, that's not mundane profiteering. But if one uses it, profit doesn't mean only money. It can be all kinds of other benefits one may expect to get out of devotional service. And these are, if they are again used for one's own sense gratification or egoistic desires, that's a problem. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. And of course, these are subtle, and one maybe one or the other to make a distinction is not very easy. For example, is it a mundane desire that devotee get some recognition as being a good in something in devotional service, a good cook, or a good singer, or a good player? So is that the mundane, or is that the spiritual? We have to see again, Krishna sees in the heart. But Prabhupada says in one place, I remember in lecture, Prabhupada says, one can be proud, spiritually proud that he is a devotee of the Lord. So there, but again, one is proud because of Krishna. It goes to Krishna, it's connected with Krishna. It's not proud because of oneself, like looking, oh, I'm great and I have these wonderful qualities. No, proud because so you're so fortunate and that to be a devotee, to be recognized by Krishna. Well, that's the ultimate recognition and fame. If you get the recognition from Krishna and his devotees, then that's the spiritual side. And of course, the other side of that is what to do with these material desires. If we have them somehow or other, and we recognize them, how to deal with these sweets, of course. Yeah. In the example here, it's obvious they have to be uprooted, but how? In general, the process is just to continue chanting Hare Krishna, and by this. Eventually our heart will become free from this. But they are mentioned here so that we can be aware and identify them and work consistently and pray to Krishna to help for eradicating those. But even if we have these desires bhakti or even mukti, while we're here, we desire a bhakti, we desire so many things in our life to enjoy. And when we are completely frustrated in our attempts to attain this enjoyment, then we desire liberation. So many times, or it's an usual stimulus that one becomes a devotee because of desire to get rid of the suffering. So this desire for liberation is very strong. And so one can say, well, I have in bhakti and mukti, and what to do? Here, again, this will help. One of the words, kutinati, one has to be straightforward and not be duplicitous with the others and with himself. One has to be honest and acknowledge the desires one has and just present them to Krishna, not pretend that they don't exist, pretend that one is somewhere in a position which one is not, and then suddenly becomes overwhelmed by much more of these subtle influences. So better be honest and acknowledge, yes, this is my position. And so even with mundane desires, or if they're dovetail, or they're connected to Krishna somehow or other, that is okay. Just like we have examples in Shastra, like Kardama Muni, he was praying to the Lord. He was saying, my dear Lord, I know you're not supposed to be, it's foolish to ask you for material benefits, but I have a desire, and whom shall I ask? I would ask you, you're the one to ask. Yeah. So He has. He said, "I have a desire to have a wife of a similar disposition." So, and Krishna arranged. He took care of that. but that's the proper way. You know, better be approach Krishna even with material desire, but honestly and thinking, "Yes, I propose this. I think that this desire, I have it, and I hope by fulfilling it, I will still continue serving you. Maybe it will even help me serving you better." So these are some thoughts. Are there any questions or comments? Yes. That's in the sense that you don't stop, because one may become discouraged. That's also a fact. One loses enthusiasm, seeing the inability to deal with such an artist. And yeah, after a long time of practice, one may see that his heart is still full of these unwanted creepers, and may think it doesn't work. Or I'm doing something wrong, whatever the reason, somehow, I don't know, shall I really continue? It's not worth, or something like that. And this is a reason for which devotees stop practicing Krishna consciousness. That's why it's said, no, you could just go on, because this type of thinking is another apparat, it's nama apparat. It's considering the glories of the holy name, the potency to be imagination. That's why we should continue. But of course, it doesn't mean like, okay, we do nothing. I see all these things and I indulge in them and I foster them and I care about them, give them extra watering even, and hope that, well, I'll just go on chanting somehow or other, it will disappear. No, when we notice that, when we notice we have this, because it's it becomes obvious after some time, you know, these desires, you can distinguish them quite easily. The desire to for name, profit, adoration, and distinction, they can kind of, you know, something doesn't feel right. You know, it's not really ecstatic experience of ecstatic love. It's some kind of a wicked feeling and emotion. Definitely, it comes there. I know envy also, the jiva himsa. So envy and these subtle desires to get out something. Will be there. So when you notice, then you have to do something. You have to do, you know, besides more chanting and more sincere chanting and more concentrated and improve your chanting, also, you know, do things that you make a plan how to deal with this. You know, make some resolution and, okay, I will avoid this or that, or whatever the problem is, you find a way. And for example, one just small thing is like envy. Normally it's said when you feel envy towards somebody, the only cure is that you start serving that person, and then it's just very difficult to maintain the envy. Of course, it's very difficult to start serving if you're envious, but that's the cure. Yeah. Yeah. Very good point, association. I was actually thinking what will be, you know, because when growing plants, and especially if you want the plant to bear fruit quickly, usually use some fertilizers. So I was thinking, what would be the fertilizer, you know, in this analogy? And, oh yeah, that's association with pure devotees. You know, it's like really giving a boost to the growth. Anything else? Yes, bro. Yeah, the third verse is the answer of Shikshashtaka. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.